Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Dan Marino.
Hi, this is Larry Zonka.
Yo, what's up? This is Tyreek Hill, the Cheetah.
Hi, I'm Zach Thomas of the Miami Dolphins.
This is Mark Super Duper.
I'm John Offerdahl.
This is Paul Warfield.
Hi, this is Nick Bonacani.
This is Jake Scott.
Gary Apremian.
Dick Anderson.
Larry Little.
Mercury Morris.
Tom Vicarito.
This is Don Strachan.
Don Nottingham.
Hey, this is A.J. Dewey.
This is Mark Ingram.
I'm Jim Crash Jensen.
This is Don Shula, and I listen to the Pat Catello Show.
It's the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello. Join us now as we talk Dolphins football or call in live with your questions or comments. And now, here's your host, Pat Catello.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Miami Dolphins Legend Show. I'm your host, Pat Catello, and I am joined alongside Rich Van Zant as the Miami Dolphins get back in the win column and I guess make this thing a little interesting here, beating the San Francisco 49ers at home 29-17, bringing their record now to 7-8 with two games remaining. And as always, let me give you the stat line first. Tua, 22-34, 215 yards, one touchdown, zero interceptions. And from that stat line, you know, Rich would always say that that's not a good stat line, so you would think that it was a loss. But, however, it wasn't. 215 yards was more than enough. And rushing-wise, Achane, 17 for 120 with the touchdown. And Mostert was 8 for 31. Receiving-wise, your number one receiver, Achane, 6 for 70. So he had a monstrous day. And Jonnu Smith was your second leading receiver, 6 for 62. Tyreek Hill was 3 for 29 with a touchdown for those keeping track. Sack-wise, Sealer had a sack, and Chop Robinson also had a sack. And Jason Sanders, 5 for 5, 54-yard long, and maybe the star of the game, to be quite honest with you. San Francisco, Brock Purdy, 26 for 40, 313 yards. Two touchdowns, one interception. Rushing-wise, Brock Purdy, a leading rusher, 4 for 26. And Deebo Samuel behind him, 5 for 25. Yes, you heard me correctly. Brock Purdy and Deebo Samuel were your leading rushers on the day. Receiving-wise, George Kittle, 8 for 106. And Deebo Samuel back. Deebo Samuel back with 7 for 96 and a touchdown. So they both had pretty good games in the air, obviously. And that's it in a nutshell. I mean, the Miami Dolphins take care of business. And if I'm looking at the stat line, Rich, and I know that, you know, you judge everything by quarterback yards here. And so Brock Purdy has 313 with the two touchdowns, and Tua has 215 with the one. But as we know, that's a deceptive stat that you have not bought into yet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, usually 200's not enough to get you to win. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that.
You know? Don't you love
but
me
when
much, you're
he
not.
He a much better game than he did last week with his four turnovers, so you give him credit there, you know?
I will. Yeah, I certainly will. There's a lot of things I still didn't love, but yeah, I'll definitely give you a lot more credit there. I think he had a real rough game last week. Jason Sanders, have to say, honestly, Rich, all kidding aside, Jason Sanders has been really good this year. He's really picked it up, and he's had some monstrous games that, I mean, if you could pretty much give him this win, right? 5 for 5 with the long ones,
yeah.
And there were some critical ones here. So he's really stepped up his game in a lot of ways. You just hope it continues. I'm not going to say I trust him like you should, but
before this game, he missed two extra points back-to-back weeks that were pretty bad, you know, so.
He has missed a few extra points, there's no doubt about it, but he's been very good this year. He really has.
He has been
coming through with some pretty big kicks, so I'll tip the cat. Cap with him. We've been very critical of him, so I feel
rightfully so though. you know?
Yeah, no, I understand, but fair is fair. We have to give him some credit when it's due, too, you know.
He's having a good year this year. There's no question, you know.
Jonnu Smith sets an all-time Miami Dolphin team record that you did not see coming, my friend, and that is the most catches in a season by a tight end. And it was very surprising when it happened. And most surprising about it is he's not listed as a tight end on the depth chart.
Yeah, he broke the fullback record, right?
Yeah, he broke the all-time fullback record.
He passed Woody Bennett.
So there's that, and I wouldn't have got that one. I didn't see that coming from a mile away. Although
he wasn't really a factor in the beginning of the season, so it was really shocking, you know.
Well, I said last week, and you know they use him as that wide receiver role, and it don't be like a tight end getting passes. They use him like a wide receiver, and I don't think anything could basically cement that statement I gave last week more than this record that came out of nowhere.
Wouldn't you think that Bruce Hardy had 100 catches one year? You know, really,
Joe Rose, obviously, and Dan Johnson took a lot of those as well, and they had so many receivers with that ball spread out. But I would have thought Keith Jackson might have, you know, sniffed it. And, you know, like I said, I think the way that they used Jonnu Smith, it was really evident by this record.
Yeah.
And, you know, so be it. I've liked him all year. He's been very, very good. He's been the bright spot on this receiving team all year. And so, you know, it was good to see that. And, you know, I mean, you look at the way this whole thing, you know, played out yesterday. Brock Purdy, healthy enough, Kittle. I mean, they had their guys. And the Dolphins beat the 49ers. I mean, the 49ers are having a real rough year. You know, they're out of the playoffs. They're not the same 49ers. But, you know, you asked me, you know, they're winning this game going in, and I couldn't confidently say yes. I really couldn't. And, you know, it was one of those games I really did not know whether or not
we never play them well.
No.
You know that.
We don't. So when, you know, when we were able to, get out of there with a win, I thought that was a pretty big feat because I really wasn't confident that it was going to happen. Like you said, we don't play them well, and there's been plenty of instances to back that up, you know. So it was a big thing to get out of there. And now it's a lot of things. I mean, we've been getting a lot of messaging this week. And most people are asking about the playoff scenarios for the Miami Dolphins now, and they want us to go through them. But in all honesty, it's fairly simple, but it's certainly not easy, if that makes any sense.
Well,
so
we need a lot of help. We need help.
A lot of help.
And, you know, they give us a 12% chance today. I think that was the number.
So it's basically a simple process, although it's not going to be easy for it to take place. And what you basically need to do is you obviously need to win out. That's the first thing. You have two games remaining against Cleveland and then against the Jets, and you have to win both of those games, both on the road and both in cold, difficult places to play. Let's just emphasize that first and foremost. Now, if you do that, you need the Colts, who are playing pretty well, to lose a game. That's one out of the next two games. They need to lose one of them. And then you basically need either the Denver Broncos or the Chargers to lose out.
Both.
They need to lose both of their remaining games.
Yeah,
so one of those teams.
Yeah, and they're both playing Saturday. So if they both win Saturday, our game Sunday is meaningless,
inconsequential. And speaking of which, we got flexed out, so we are no longer
good,
playing.
You want to play at 8:30 at night?
I don't. But do I think that playing at 4:00? Is going to be so great on the lake? No, I don't. So are you saying, do I want to as far as the weather, you mean? Or are you asking me personally?
Yeah, well, not the weather and the national exposure. You know how that works out.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, the national exposure part of that.
This team lays the biggest golden dodo eggs on national TV, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, do I want to have a Sunday night game? You know, whatever. You know, but it would. But the weird thing is, or the ironic, we got flexed out of that game,
mm-hmm.
so that the Falcons could play the Commanders, and now that's a non-consequential game because the Falcons are eliminated, and Washington, with their performance now, has already clinched. So that game is now meaningless, and we're more of the meaningful game.
Is the NFC all locked up?
I don't know if it's all locked up. There was just probably some seeding and stuff like that, but you mean is there any openings?
Yeah, I don't know if there is.
Yeah, maybe there's not. Maybe there's not. Well, maybe it's just seeding now. But as far as, you know, that goes, we are actually the more meaningful game now, and that is now flexed out of there. So we'll
That's
be playing
fun.
at 4:05 on Sunday. And because they kind of do it too early, really. You know, but I guess the people...
Well, they got it. You know, people have to plan for it. It's really not fair, you know. I mean, you know, if you think about it.
No, it's not. It's not at all.
You
I
know,
mean, if you wanted to go to the Sunday
fans.
Night game.
But,
the,
you know,
no.
again, they don't care.
Yeah,
know?
No. If you were, well, in a lot of different ways. I mean, you could be, you could get from a 1 o'clock game all of a sudden to the Sunday night game, or vice versa. You think you have, you know, a Sunday night game that now has moved.
Yeah.
So, yeah, from that perspective of the fan, it's not fair
yeah,
at all.
Basically, if you were a Dolphin fan crazy enough to be going to that game, right, and you're flying in, that means, you know, being a 4 o'clock game, you're not flying out that night. If it's an 8 o'clock game, there's no 12:30, 1 o'clock flight out of Cleveland to Miami, you know? So you're staying
but it's
in
the opposite.
Night. Yeah.
Well, they flex it down, though.
Yeah, right. But I'm saying, yeah, right, you were staying an extra night if it was going that way. This way, you know, 4 o'clock, maybe you could go home, you know. But, again, you probably had tickets already, so now you're staying an extra day for nothing.
Well, you know? Yeah, so if you maybe look at it from the other perspective and you're Atlanta or something and you're scheduled to go in to Washington and then fly out of Washington that night,
yeah, that's
now
not
you
happening.
Can't do
yeah.
that. So that could
go,
be
yeah.
A problem.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why, yeah, they do it early enough. But early
yeah,
enough,
I don't
still going to create chaos.
I don't think the NFL are flexing you a check, right, for that extra
no.
night stay, right?
No.
Yeah, with that, are they? No.
No.
NBC's not sending you a check, no.
But it's not even, as far as I know, it's not even deemed one of the flex games. Like, there are certain games that are flexible. And one of them is that last game, Dolphins-Jets. All year that game has been up in the air with a complete flex and nothing even solidified as far as a time or date or anything. But this Cleveland game, I don't think it was one of those flex games. And there's Monday night games which are flex games, but I don't think this, you know, this game was particularly on that list. So I don't even know how you know. You know, that kind of came out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's a strange situation. It definitely is. So, all right, so as we start to look at this, Achane had his best game. I mean, he was real strong. And, you know, it's funny, Rich, because I did not realize it would be such a topic, but all day today, everybody talking and we were getting about Achane scoring that touchdown at the end. And obviously we were there and my son was big on it. He picked up on it and he, you know, and I did not realize how big a deal it really would be. But it is kind of a big deal because maybe it's not a big deal when you're playing, you know, Brock Purdy and the 49ers who are out of it, but scoring there, the game is over. So the game is basically done. But if say you're playing Patrick Mahomes, who we've seen score in 15 seconds, right, or even Josh Allen in a big game, I mean, you're looking at them scoring then and having the opportunity of an onside kick, which
I know.
One out of six. It's one out of six.
I understand, but, you know. know.
I mean, that's what it basically
it's not
is.
Probable. I mean, it's a long shot for anybody.
Not probable, but it's 1 out of 6.
Not probable.
I mean, you said yourself, it's 3 for 18.
Like I said,
is what the onside kicks are.
Yeah, there was three onside kicks recovered this year out of 30.
Out of 18. So that's 1 out of every 6.
Yeah.
That's 1 out of every 6 onside kick. So, you know, listen, we've seen it happen. It happened last year.
I know.
And
yeah,
I'm
not going with that's a big deal. That's not, you know, look, if it was one score, yeah, it's a big deal. But being a two-score game, it's not a big deal. I mean, it's not. I don't, you know, you can't get on HN for scoring there. It's not the same as the Bradshaw thing. You know, it's a different situation.
It's exactly the same
as
the Bradshaw
two scores,
thing. I mean,
it's two scores with an onside kick in the middle. I mean, and a two-point conversion, too, right?
No. Not if you...
No, they didn't need 2 points? Okay.
Well, I guess it depends, but... Listen, if it was the Super Bowl or if you had a major bet on it, I think you'd think a different way. How about that? But if it was the Super Bowl or something like that, you might be thinking differently. I mean, we've seen this kind of nonsense happen an awful lot of times. So I can see why people are starting to, you know, make a big deal. Because you're talking about basically the game's over. It's over. It's not even like, you know, you don't score, the game is over. You don't have to do anything. You take one knee, the game is done, you know, or two knees, and it's over, as opposed to now you have an entire defense on the field trying to stop, you know, them when who knows what could happen in that scenario, right? And then injury-wise or whatever. And then, you know, obviously you have to sit back and hold your breath on one of them and you know, watch that happen. But whatever, it's here or there, but... There is definitely precedent for it, and I can understand it more than I did at the time. Let me just say it like that. All right. All right, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to break this entire game down. So let's take a quick break, and we'll do that right after this.
When the autumn mist is drawing near, and you hear the whistle sound and the crowd cheer, you'll know it's that special time once again for head-to-head combat and first and 10. So follow those that are in the know and listen to Pat and Rich and the Legends Show. All episodes of the Pat Catello Show available now on iTunes.
Hi, this is Larry Little, and you're listening to the Pat Catello Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello, sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. He recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Catello.
I will never promise to
Welcome back, Miami Dolphins Legend Show. You got Pat and Rich coming at you. We'll take you up to this Monday night football game, which is the New Orleans Saints at the Green Bay Packers. And the Packers are playing pretty well right now. And just a reminder, you can catch us right on iTunes. Just go right to the iTunes store, subscribe to us. You'll get our latest episodes, and you can catch any back ones there as well. Just send us any questions or comments, patcatelloshow@yahoo.com, and we will try to address them and bring it up on the air. So, Rich, Miami Dolphins get a victory, 29-17. Achane looked really, really good. It was his best game, 120 rushing and 70 passing with a touchdown. Break it down for me, offensive-wise. What'd you like? What didn't you like?
Well, you know, we ran the ball good. I think the passing game was still a little inept. You know, there's still no long plays. Tyreek Hill, 29 yards, is unacceptable. You know, he had a couple big drops, but, you know, he still hasn't broken free in a long, long time. I mean,
No, he hasn't. Let me just interrupt you. He hasn't, and a lot of people are all over him. But honestly, like, I thought it was okay. Like, I thought that he had played much worse games with numbers. Like, if you're going to look at the stat line and you see that 3 for 29, it's going to be glaring. But I thought that the 29 yards were important. He had that one catched and broke and kind of set up that drive. And then he had that touchdown, which was a big touchdown, even though it was a short one over there. So he was productive in this game for all the, you know, that he's taken a lot of abuse, obviously, and a lot of criticism for this game. So, you know, I thought he was productive in this game for a stat line that looks kind of bad.
Yeah, it is pretty bad, that stat line. Well, what about Waddle? What's the story with him?
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be available for the Cleveland game. The injury when it happened looked bad. And then it looked like he was kind of walking it off, if you will. And then we heard that it seems like it's more of sprains and stuff like that. I hadn't heard that there was any ligament damage. Maybe you have a better update than me. So I think it's still week to week.
No, that's why I'm asking you. I haven't heard about it. You know, they really haven't said what it is.
Yeah, I think it's still week to week. But you know what? Who knows? Because I've seen guys like this, and then you don't see them again for a while. So who knows? I mean, you know, everything, like you always say, is kept so secretive, and
like,
more so
the,
than that.
Worse than the CIA.
And so much of it becomes lies, and that's even worse, you know? You want to be secretive about
that.
Something,
yeah.
So be it, you know? But, yeah, I mean...
Now,
and
I got a scenario for you. At what point is Bradley Chubb in the mix?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was just going to say. That's exactly what I just started to say.
Like,
and
know,
now,
is he coming back at any point? Like,
yeah.
If we make the playoffs, is he back? For that? What is the story?
At what point does Bradley Chubb even become viable? Because he hasn't played all year. I mean, what exactly are you expecting when this guy comes back now? I mean, if you don't even get him, what, are you just going to put him in, like you said, is he waiting for a playoff game, and then he's just going to go in there? I mean, this isn't Charles Haley, you know? Like, what do you think you're going to get out of this? And it's very strange.
No idea.
And what's going on in practice? I mean, is it the kind of thing where it's bizarre? It really is. And you know that there's obviously some ulterior factors involved in this decision from both sides. It's plainly obvious, right?
Yep.
So I don't know. It's very, very strange. And Rich, I really wonder what the contract details are with Bradley Chubb, because he signed a huge deal, and I didn't love the deal when it happened. You did, I didn't. You know, we both on the record strongly with that one. But I wonder now, because you see so many guys, again, with these contracts, and the difference is they're being paid a ton up front, but that back-end money is still nonsensical, and you see so many guys now getting waived and cut. So they don't have to pay these, you know, this extra thing. And like, you know, Kirk Cousins is now being rumored. So obviously Chubb's been paid, but I really wonder what his contract details are, because obviously if he plays, it changes everything. He's in an injury right now, you know? So there's got to be something in effect there, too, from the team.
Well, I'm
and,
sure
and,
there is. I'm sure there's yeah. something about, like, if he gets hurt, they're going to owe him all the money or whatever again. You know, who knows? You know?
Or maybe the opposite. I'm thinking the opposite. I'm thinking, like, he is hurt. But if he comes back, he may relinquish that. I'm thinking that.
Well, you think there's still, he's still recovering? You don't think he's ready to go yet?
I think while he's hurt, I think they're on the hook more. I think when he comes back, I think then he becomes vulnerable in some areas. That's what I'm thinking. So, you know.
Aaron Rodgers wanted to come back in 6 weeks from an Achilles injury, and this guy's been out a year and a half for an ACL.
I know. And that's what I mean, Rich. I really think, like, if he comes back, it's, you know, he then becomes vulnerable to either being waived, cut, or something, you know, where they have the leverage on him. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's a big factor in this. And,
you know, his brother broke his ankle again.
I seen that he was out. It's a broken ankle. I don't think they're brothers. I know you keep saying that. They are related. I don't think they're brothers. No, but I think they are related, but I don't think they're brothers.
I
know
you're brothers. Are you sure about
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I don't think they're brothers. They are related. I think they're like cousins or something. But you have them, you paired them up as siblings, and I can't shake you from that hill, but I don't think they're brothers. But, yeah, he did get hurt, right?
Yeah, he broke his ankle. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, jeez. And he's out for the year, obviously. And that's the second big injury now in 2 years. It's better than that devastating knee injury that he had. That was really bad.
Yeah, that looked like it was career ending when that happened. You know.
Yeah,
really
did. Yeah, I knew somebody else who even said it was something else, but I'm going to leave that alone. But, yeah, you hate to see him get hurt. And while we're on it, Tank Dell, one of the best receivers in football, with a really bad injury. And now it turns out that it was an ACL with a dislocated kneecap. He went through surgery, and I guess that's repaired. But that was rough.
That was disgusting. That was one of the, you know, I've had knees that pop out, never dislocated like that. You know, I was able to put it back myself, but the way that was protruding, that means the tendon was ripped and that wasn't going back in by itself. I know what that feels like when it's dislocated like that. It's horrifying. It's the worst. I don't wish that on my worst enemy. It hurts, but it feels weird when it's out. And then if you're able to pop it back in, the pain is like a rocket ship. It just goes from zero to a million in like a second. It's brutal.
Yeah.
Not fun.
No. And it certainly affected your receiving stats. That's for sure. almost brought them down.
Yeah, Nick Chubb is
to zero.
Okay? They're not brothers. Nick Chubb is Bradley Chubb's cousin. I always thought it was his brother. What can I tell you?
So, do you think somewhere in Texas right now, Tank Dell has a shortwave radio and he's listening and going, who is this guy, Rich, with this knee injury? And what kind of receiver is he? Does he have any numbers? Yeah, so.
Played flanker. Tight end.
There you go. Where else if you can't get enjoyment out of the show? All right. So, I thought like you said, I thought the passing game, it still lacks. It definitely does. But you know, the thing I noticed the most, and
not
I don't
the
know if you caught
show on turf, that's for sure.
No, Malik Washington. Had a really good game. He had some really nice catches, and he was a prominent part of that. But you know what I noticed is what I've been saying all along is that the reason why he did is because he took Waddle's spot. And basically, that's how Tua reads a game. Like, he just put him in that spot, and, you know, he's not really able to go to the third guy, if you will. And that's my concern, you know?
Well, why isn't Tyreek the one guy? Like, why isn't the play called for him and just, like, I mean, you can't we send this guy long three times and overthrow him? You know, even if you're not connected with him, shouldn't you just spread the defense out and just, like, whip the ball up to him a couple times and see what happens? Throw it as far as you can, see Tyreek catch up to it? I don't know. I would think that should be in the playbook.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with what we're talking about? I got what you're saying as far
like,
as, you know.
Why is Waddle, like, Waddle's position, like, the first read? Like I said, shouldn't the
ball no, I don't think
a couple times a game, would Tyreek just take a fly pattern and take it, and I'm going to throw it up as far as I can and just go get it?
I'm not saying Waddle. I don't think Waddle is the first read. I don't.
Oh,
I think
don't
Tyreek
think so?
Is the first read.
Think,
no, but what I'm saying,
okay.
What I'm saying is I think Tua gets to the second read, and that's all she wrote most of the time. And the reason why Malik Washington was very prominent is because he took Waddle's spot as that second guy or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think it's because Tua spread it out more and was able to look at his third guys. And Jonnu Smith, you know, it falls into that late in games where he does that, but it kind of stops there. Because you're always saying what happened with Craycraft and Braxton Berrios hasn't really been the factor that we thought he would be the last couple of years. And so I think, that that's part of it, big part of it, if not all of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, he has a hard time with that ball distribution like that. I mean, I think he does.
You know, there's no flow with this offense, it seems. It's just, I don't know. It's weird. You know, there's no, like, I don't know. Maybe they should go hurry up for a little while and try to get into, like, some kind of mojo. You know, it just seems like it's just slow moving and it's, like, stagnant. You know? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying. I wouldn't have a hard time wanting them to go into the hurry-up offense. The problem being, you know, they're really not a good hurry-up offense, if that makes sense. But I would like to see them maybe do something like that. Just try to get that flow going, you know, and mix it in. What do you feel of the running backs? I mean, you still don't think A-Chan is like a number one back?
No, I don't think he is. I think he's a very dynamic back, but I think, like, you know, you need more of a bruiser as your everyday. Like, I don't like him between the tackles like that, you know. I like him around the edges. I like him receiving the ball, but I don't love him, you know, running, you know, up the middle, you know.
And
you
most
can see when Wilson got in there, we needed the short yardage, and, you know, he just blasted through, you know.
Well, yeah, he's not that kind of a guy, but but Mostert played, and it still looked like
Something's up. Yeah, something's wrong with him. It's either, you know, he lost it, or he's still recovering from an injury, or you know.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He's lost a step, or he's just not 100% healthy, or whatnot. I agree. It just seems like.
And then the rookie we haven't seen in what, a month, right? He's disappeared off the face of the earth. The one we drafted.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's got potential too, and he's a bigger back. So, like, I do like him, you know. You're talking about Jalen Wright. I do like him, and he's shown glimmers of that, but Wilson kind of took his spot in this game.
Yeah.
So, but you have good backs, but you don't seem to have, like, that premier back, if you will.
No.
Even though A-Chan's numbers may show that more, you kind of still don't have that, at least not from your perspective. I know you just said you're not happy with it.
I'm not happy with the whole offense. I'm not really not happy with the whole team, if you want to be honest with you. You know, every time they've been a game under 500 this year, they've lost. You know, they've never got back to 500 since 1-1. You know, this team's been a huge disappointment this year. And, you know, I know everybody's waiting for them to turn it on, but I don't see it happening. I mean, basically, you win the next two and somehow you sneak in. It's going to be three cold weather games in a row on the road.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time this team's won three cold weather games on the road in a row?
When's the last time it's 1-1?
I would say never. Okay.
It's not a good sign, and it's not going to be fun in Cleveland next week, like you said.
No.
Yeah, it's better at 4 than at 8, but it's still at 4.
It's still
on the lake. And you don't know what weather. You could be looking at a blizzard.
100%. Yeah, we don't know. That's, you know, Sunday's a long way away. I mean, it's we're getting the Arctic blast this week. You know, I know it's supposed to warm up for us by the weekend, but that doesn't mean Cleveland's going to be warm.
Yeah, I know. It could really be rough. So I guess we'll just have to see, you know, where that goes. All right, let's take another break. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up right after this.
Hi, this is Dick Anderson with the 1972 Perfect Season Miami Dolphins. We're listening to the Pat Catello Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello, sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. He recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Catello.
Okay, welcome back to Miami Dolphins Legends Show. Come to the final stretch here. You got Pat and Rich coming at you. We'll bring you up to this Monday night football game, Saints at the Green Bay Packers, who are obviously looking very strong and like one of the teams that could make a run for this thing. It's been a strange year. It really has. And as we look around the league and you see the way teams are right now, the first thing that strikes me, I haven't been this impressed with a rookie quarterback in a long time than as Jaden Daniels. I mean, this kid is unbelievable. As he throws for 5 touchdowns, Rich, against the number one defense and beats the Eagles in clinching a playoff spot, he's the rookie of the year, hands down. Nobody even going to compete with that. But it just shows you the importance of a quarterback in this league and how.
Oh, 100%. Look how that team. You know, they changed that team around in 1 year with a quarterback.
So
you
my
know,
question is,
if you want to talk a little about that game, Devontae Smith, who I never saw miss a pass in his life, missed a touchdown pass right before that drive, and then when Jalen Daniels' last touchdown to win the game, the left tackle jumped off sides, and the lovely referees missed that one, which I don't understand how a left tackle could jump off sides and nobody see it. I mean, it was the most obvious thing I've ever seen in my life. Pretty pathetic how he missed that. I mean, the guy jumped like 30 seconds before the ball was snapped. I mean, it was ridiculous. This guy stands up and it's like, really? No flag? terrible.
Yeah, you're talking about
that.
It from.
I mean, that's just. No, I know. I'm not diminishing what Washington.
I don't know
is.
What you're
I'm
doing because I'm trying to talk.
I got
you. I'm trying to talk about quarterback prominence in the league,
yep.
And my question
yep.
is. My question is, you see how that team has turned around?
Yeah, they're
with one guy, right? So
yeah.
at what point do you put some of this emphasis on Tua? Like, I mean, he's not a first-year quarterback anymore. He's had a lot of injuries that have, you know, cost this team from maybe producing when he was out, but you know, where do you see him? Like, do you think he's progressed like he should have? Are you comfortable with him future-wise? There's a lot of people who have jumped off the
Tua bandwagon.
He's Johnny Unitas
compared to what we've had since Marino. So, look, is he the greatest quarterback on earth? No. He's very accurate. He's a very good quarterback. I think he could win with him. But the team's got issues. It's not just
That's the way you see it?
I think it's badly coached in some areas. I just think this team's out of sync for some reason, which I don't know why. I mean, I can't put my finger on what's wrong with this team, but it seems to have
no,
a lot
but,
of problems.
But you just – wait a minute. But time out, because you just took a stance that most people do not take. You're saying that Tua is basically – you could win a championship with Tua. And you're saying he's accurate, like a lot of people say he's accurate, but you've said that a lot of times he's not. But you think that he is accurate, you can win a championship with him, and that he's basically, he's the guy. I mean, that's what you're saying. That's my question. You don't think it's Tua. You think basically it's everything else. But
there's other reasons. And I think one of the biggest problems with this team is, you know, if you're ever going to make a run in the playoffs, you can't be the last team to make the playoffs and go on the road in somewhere cold. Okay? That's, you know, you have to get home field advantage or at least a couple games at home, something. You know, you're not going to sneak in as the seventh seed and go anywhere. You know, that's what this team has done over the last 20 years. That's why they haven't won a playoff game in 20 years. So, you know.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. You're talking about from a team standpoint. I'm specifically
yep.
my point is just quarterback.
Is Tua the answer? I don't know. Well, what do you do about it? You know what I mean? You're stuck with this guy for two or three more years.
Well, you've already done
good, bad, or indifferent.
Well, because you've already made that decision. But I'm just curious. You know what? I guess I'm asking you the same thing. You've already answered it. You think he's the guy? I mean, you've already answered it. You think he is the guy?
Well,
and
he's our guy. I mean, there's nothing's going to be done about it. What are you going to do? You're not going to be in a position to draft somebody. You know, you're not bad enough to get one of the top guys. Not that I think there is one this year.
Didn't
and you're not,
say you had to do anything about it.
I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league right now. I do. You know, push comes to shove. You know, is our team one of the best teams in the league? No. This team hasn't played well in over a year.
Because a lot of these games, he's been the reason they haven't won or played well.
True.
A lot of them. You know, that's
a lot of the games we've won, he's been the reason we won.
Like when?
You don't think he's won any games this year?
I think I gave him credit in the crunch time of that Jets game, but I can't really pick out a game this year that I would say he's the reason they won. I think he's struggled quite a bit, and they've wound up, you know, winning games. I mean, but not necessarily. I mean, they're 7-8. They won one game without him, so they're 6-8. So there's six games we're talking about. They looked terrible against Jacksonville in that win, right? So that's five games, right? The New England Patriot game that you played here, you said he had a terrible game, right? He didn't play well against what's the other win that you had?
Texas.
Was it the
that
you
was
lost
the worst game of the year to Texas?
We lost though.
Yeah,
we lost that game.
That's
though.
The worst game he played all year. It was against Texas.
Right, right. I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to find the games that you say that he is the reason and that they won. But there's not that many wins. I mean, he's got, like I said, he's got 5 wins this year. And one of them was Jaguars, so that's 4. So there's 4 games to choose from. And I think there was a couple wins despite him in them. So I don't know if I have that this year, you know. That's my point. But I don't know. I hope you're right. I mean, I'm not coming
not
all
Jay
down
Fiedler
on him.
That. You know, he's not Jay Fiedler. You know, is he the best quarterback in the league? No, but he's the best we've had in 22 years.
Yeah, I know you keep saying that, but then in all honesty, like the bar is not exactly super high, you know, and so I know you keep saying he's the best quarterback since we. Okay, I got you. I mean,
you
I got
you.
He
was hurt. What we had, you know. So look what we had when he was hurt. You couldn't even get a first down.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it was ineptness, you know.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's indicative.
That's really
of,
what's not acceptable, you know.
Yeah, you're kind of changing the subject, though. You're trying to get on the team,
I
realize.
I mean, like I said, I know what you're saying, but, you know, there's nothing going to be done about it, so it's kind of like a stupid conversation.
Yeah,
he's
again,
your guy
I'm not
for the foreseeable future.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. I know. And I'm not saying something should be done. I'm not looking at that. But I gave you an example of listen, it's a quarterback league and you see how franchises change on a quarterback, right? And mm-hmm. So I'm just asking where you stand with him when I look around the league, you know, and I look at
yeah,
I look
like
at
I
his
said, I don't
peers.
Think that I don't think we're having a horrible year because of him. I think, you know, there's a lot of problems with this organization, you know. I don't think the depth is good. I don't think the defense is that good. I think the coaching's been terrible all year, you know, between the penalties, the play calling, you know, the way he has this team ill-prepared, the special teams, other than the kicking and the punting have been atrocious.
Yeah, but what about his play, though? You're saying everything but his play. I mean, you think his play has been where you want it to be?
He's not been terrible.
He's terrible.
I think, you know, you want me to grade him? He's a B-minus this year. You know?
You're giving to a B-minus this year? I mean, I'm looking around the league, right? And I'm, you know, Burrows, Josh Allen, his peers, just in the AFC, Herbert, and that's what I like. Do you see him at that level? I mean, and then you see, like, you know, young quarterbacks that have come in the league and seeing, you know, where they're at. Well, I guess you answered it. I mean, I'm asking the same question again, but I guess you've answered it. And yeah, I think he's done some good things at times, but I don't know if I see his game progressing the way that maybe I think it should. Last year, there was more times, I think, when he was certainly on pace and looked like he was really turning the page, you know. And when you look at how he runs an offense right now, has he progressed since then? You think that he's going to continue on an upward progression?
You know, I hope so. I mean, you know, I'd like to see, you know, what I heard about the play calling, too, is like, the plays are too complicated, and that's why they take so long to get in, and that's why there were always the clock management problem. You know,
yeah, but
these plays are just, you know, it's hard to call them on the line when you're getting them in with 20 seconds left. You know,
uh-huh.
That's what you're always complaining about. The plays don't get off, and
yeah,
I just heard that, like, you know, McDaniel's plays are just too complicated.
Yeah, I mean, but
there's too much movement. And how many times did we see?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the illegal motion and the illegal guy in the backfield and, you know, all those things. And that's part of that.
Mm-hmm. They've seen pretty dramatic change in that the last 4 weeks at least. But a lot
it's
of that,
been
you know.
It's definitely been better, you know. But, you know, very stubborn coach we have. Very stubborn.
And then as far as receiving-wise, I mean, you're pretty locked into that too. I mean, my point is you have, you know, the highest paid quarterbacks receivers too,
you know,
for this production.
And it should be.
I know you
have
to push the blame, but
it definitely should be better. Yeah, it definitely should be better. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with the way that the offense is being run. You know, I don't know if it's the coordinator, McDaniel, both of them. I don't know. You know, I'm not there. I don't know who's calling the shots, but.
Who was calling them when they put 70 points up?
This offense is lacking.
Who was putting
talent there to be this stale?
Well, who was calling them when they put 70 points up? Who was calling them when they went into Baltimore and scored 5 touchdowns in the second? Who was calling them?
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, there's a difference this year. Something's wrong.
No, there's definitely a difference. There's no doubt about it. There is. I mean, we both agree on that wholeheartedly. There's no argument there. This team is very different.
Well,
you like this guy?
You like this head coach?
No, but see, you completely changed my whole, like, my whole conversation
was about, but you completely shifted it to the coaching and everything else. I know you don't like Tua that much. I got you.
No, it's not. I do like Tua. You completely twisted an entire conversation on Jaden Daniels coming in there and what quarterbacks can do for a franchise to talking about our quarterback and where he stands in the league. You completely twisted that to everybody else's problem on this team. And McDaniel and the coaching and all—you completely ignored the conversation.
Put all the blame on him. That's the point.
Nobody's saying put all the blame on him. Nobody. Forget the Dolphins. We're talking about him, where he stands.
I don't know.
In the league.
Who knows?
You said he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
You said he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Accurate. Can win a championship with him. Top 10. Okay.
I think we can win a championship with him. I think there's a lot of things on this team that we can't win a championship with.
Holy cow, Rich. How many times are you going to say it? We got you.
Okay.
No, it's not Tua's fault. It's everybody else's, and there's a lot of other things on the team. We got you.
Yeah.
I heard you 80 times.
Okay.
I mean, this guy, but you don't think there's any criticism on this quarterback?
Yeah, he's had some terrible games this year. I'm not forgiving him, but I still think he's, you know, he's one of the, you know.
No, I don't know. You said
whatever.
It. He's a big boy, Ty. He knows what he said. I mean, come on. I think you're embellishing a little too much here. There's problems,
I don't think there's a problem at all.
Okay. I don't know. I see a lot of quarterbacks come in and they're doing a lot of things that, you know, to completely change. So you're, I guess, content with the extension and this is the direction for the next 4 years if he's healthy. And
I gotta be honest with you.
That other
if they
area.
Didn't want him, if they were wanting to go in a different direction, there's no direction to go in. You're kind of like this or nothing. What else are you gonna do? You gonna go get a veteran free agent? What are you gonna do? There's no solution to the problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At this point.
See, I got you.
No, you don't say that. If you're not satisfied with the way Tua plays and you want to make a move, what move are you making?
You really can't. That's my point, though. My point is it's a quarterback league. And so you are basically stuck with your quarterback. Otherwise, you're in a lot of trouble. My point is you have your quarterback. Do you think you have the quarterback? Do you think it's enough? I mean, you've seen the success of other quarterbacks in this league and what they're able to do. Now, I'm not saying there's a fix. You're in a lot of trouble like all the other teams that don't have a quarterback. You know,
I don't think we have a quarterback. No, I don't believe that, no. I think we do have a quarterback. Team just underperformed this year for other reasons.
All right, we're going to move on. I got
so you.
So you
can answer
me.
You asked me the question 98 other times. I ain't blaming Tua if that's a
sign. You ain't what?
I'm not blaming Tua. I said you can ask a question 100 different times.
Yeah, that's
I'm not,
not really,
blaming Tua.
All right. Well, that's kind of not what I was asking you. Yeah, all right. I got you. So be it. I think that there's still, I think that there's still question marks. I do. I think there's still question marks there. So, you know.
Well, he's got to prove that he can beat a good team on the road one of these days. You know, that's really, you know, how it comes down to. I mean, you know.
You know, yeah,
I don't think he's going to get that opportunity this year, but, you know, but that's what has to happen.
Why is he not going to get that opportunity? What do you mean?
Because I don't think we're making the playoffs. I think even if we do win out, I don't see the other side happening.
What about the Green Bay game? Wasn't that a perfect example?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah.
You know, and looking around, too, you know, you got a lot of heat because when the Chiefs lost and you got on me for being giddy, you know, this Chiefs team now is 14 wins, Rich. They're 14-1. And people were saying you were acting like you were upset they lost that week. How happy are you now they got that loss? I think we lost them. I think that when you look around this league and you see what the Chiefs are doing, and they're definitely winning ugly, having that loss on the Chiefs even this late is a big deal. And, you know, 14 wins, Rich, you know, you have to be happy that the Chiefs got that loss now. Because even though they're
100%.
Winning ugly, 14 wins. They're 14. Will they lose another game? Maybe. Maybe they will. But could you imagine them being 15-0 right now?
No, I'd be.
You owe me an apology. You owe me an apology.
No, I don't, because the refs gave them three wins. How you pick
when
that?
When they lost that game, people were calling and they were saying you almost were upset. You seemed upset that they lost that game. And now when you look back on it, they would have been 15-0 right now.
Yeah. Well, that Raider game was a joke. How the refs gave them that game. The refs gave them the game in what was the game with the two penalties on the 2-point conversion? What was that one?
I understand.
That was Atlanta. You know.
I understand.
You know,
that's
they changed the call. I know. Believe me, I'm very happy they have a loss.
Well, you weren't then.
I guarantee you, they weren't going undefeated. What can I tell you?
Scene. Apologies in
and
order.
I guess I was right.
Yeah, you were right. No, it's a good thing you
as
got
much
me.
As the
here.
NFL wanted well, it. It didn't happen.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I was happy then. You got on me, and when you look back at that now, very happy that they
100%
got that now.
Yeah.
Especially
I wouldn't
want to
see
remaining.
Them, you know, undefeated at this point. What are you crazy? You know. Well, you were worried
right.
about it in October.
Yeah, well, I think I made my point. I think I made my point. Mm-hmm. All right, so on Cleveland, listen, I don't know, Rich. I wasn't, you know, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game. Like you said, things could happen before that game even takes place, so we'll just have to wait and see and kind of hope for, you know, relevance going into that game, and then we'll see what happens, right?
That's all you think you can help for. I mean, we're in this position because of them. I mean, you know, they did it to themselves. You know, they lost a lot of winnable games early on, and
absolutely,
you know, they never recovered from this. And you know, it's been a very, very disappointing season. No matter how you look at it, they underachieved.
Yeah.
They've been out of the AFC East race for, you know, two and a half months. You
yeah.
know, if not more. You know, since September, the end of September, they really been out of it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So,
yep.
You know, like you said, it's been a terrible season. I think there's going to be a lot of changes next year. And like I said, I don't see them making the playoffs. I don't know how you feel, but I don't see it.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, on that note, my friend, we'll see you next week.
Took a look down a westbound road, right away I made my choice.
headed out to my big two-wheeler. I was tired of my own boy. Took a beat on the northern plains and just rolled that power on. Twelve hours out of Mackinac City, stopped in a bar to have a brew. Met a girl, we had a few drinks, and I told her what I decided to do. She looked out the window a long, long moment, then she looked into my eyes. She didn't have to say a thing.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles. Discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.